Open your Bibles with me this morning to Romans chapter 12. Let's look this morning at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says there, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God." Over the course of the past two Sunday mornings, we have examined the command of verse 1 that tells us to present our bodies as living sacrifices. We've looked at what that means, the importance of that. However, we are not merely instructed to present our bodies. We are told to present them holy and pleasing to God. How can we do that? We are sinful creatures. We have no capacity in ourselves for living holy lives. And it's only by the power and grace of God that He applies the righteousness of Christ to our lives so that we're able to stand before Him holy. Christianity is not lived, this is important now, we really have to grasp this. This is fundamental to this whole lesson. Christianity is not lived from the outside in as though a set of standards can change who we are. It is lived from the inside out as the Holy Spirit works to transform us. Now, why is that so important? Well, let's begin with our witness to the world around us in considering the importance of that. Let me read it again. Christianity is not lived from the outside in as though a set of standards can change who we are. It is lived from the inside out as the Holy Spirit works to transform us. That's vitally important for us to understand, grab hold of, and hang on to as we go out and witness to the world around us. Our job, folks, out there in the world, is not to teach people how to live a good moral life. Our job is not to teach people, here's the standard that you ought to be living by. What you're doing is wrong and you ought to do what's right. Because if we do that, you end up with either two things. You either end up with those who will outright reject you and reject any message you're trying to give them, because who are you to tell me how to live my life? Or you have people that will comply with such a standard and they will live good moral lives, and then they will stand before God one day, judged for their self-righteousness, and they will be cast from His presence and be separated from Him for eternity. We do not live something from the outside in. Christianity is lived from the inside out. It is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So what do people out in the world need? What do non-Christians need from us? They need to know about Jesus. They need to know the gospel of God's grace in Christ Jesus. They need to know that because of their sin, even because of their self-righteousness, they need the Savior. And then as God transforms them, they become disciples of Jesus Christ with the indwelling Holy Spirit. And then they become a part of us who are disciples living from the inside out as the Holy Spirit transforms our lives. And that's what today's lesson is all about, is what does God do in us and through us, and how does this all work? But I felt like I needed to start there, because so often I see nowadays people from the Christian world who are always harping on the moral standards to the world. And that's not what the world needs to hear. They need to hear about Jesus. How we live as Christians is relevant once we are Christians. Kind of sounded like I was on a soapbox there, didn't it? So let's talk about us as disciples of Jesus Christ, those indwelled by the Holy Spirit. The sin nature is very real, isn't it? Salvation does not mean that we now live sinless lives. I'll bet there's somebody here who this morning you realize just how strong that sin nature pull is as you dealt with something that just got on your last nerve this morning, didn't it? I've often used the illustration, we can get up in the morning, we can spend time in prayer, we can be walking in the Spirit, and then we're driving down the road and somebody cuts us off and almost hits us, and suddenly we're walking in the flesh again. It can be that fast. We still have that pull of the sin nature as it tries desperately to draw us away from walking with God and pulls us into a life of sin and selfishness and even into self-righteousness and ultimately into futility. But how does sin do that? Well, it all begins in the mind. We are told in the book of Proverbs, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you go looking for that particular proverb, you'll have to look in the King James Version for that specific wording right there, by the way. The world wants to control your mind, because if it can control your mind, it will have control of those things that you do with your body, which is what we've talked about the past couple Sundays. Now we're talking about the mind. Well, wait a minute. What is the world? What is this power that wants us to conform? The word age or world in verse 2 refers to the system of thinking that is based on the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. You can go to Colossians chapter 2 and find that very wording that we are encouraged in Colossians 2 not to go after the things that are based on the basic principles of this world, but to live according to Christ. This world system has a leader. Ephesians chapter 2 speaks in some detail about it. It says, you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. We were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Now, what happened there in that verse is we see flesh and mind put together. The body and the mind are not independent. Now, I know there are those mornings you wish it was. You want your mind to stay in bed and let your body go do what it has to do, but you don't have to go with it, right? It's 5 below outside. Got to go to work. But that's not how it works. Our mind and our body operate together. They don't operate independently. If you want to present your body as a living sacrifice, if you want to sacrifice your body to God for his use and for his glory, then something has to happen to the mind. The world wants to control your mind, and just because you are a Christian, you're not immune to the world's influence. If Christianity to you is just a religious practice, then your situation is hopeless. Just claiming to be a Christian does not provide defense against the chorus of this world. I trust, I pray for you. I pray for all of you that you do not come here on a Sunday morning simply as a religious practice because it's a good religious thing to do. It's not what this is about. We ought to be gathering here to be refreshed by the Holy Spirit of God and strengthened for our everyday lives. Your only hope, our only hope, is to be true followers of Jesus Christ. And to be true followers, we must be transformed. True Christ following is not a matter of conforming to something. It is a matter of being transformed into something that is not of this world. Transformation is a change of mind that occurs inside. The world's influence begins on the outside and works its way in. God has the power to change you by working from the inside out. That is why I believe that preaching is worth it. Because I'm not up here trying to convince you in my own flesh, in my own strength, or my own wisdom of anything that the Bible has to say. My desire is to be up here preaching the word of God by the Spirit of God so that the Spirit of God might work in the people of God to the glory of God. I just saw a quote this morning. It's not the water around the ship that sinks it. It's the water that gets in the ship that sinks it. We're in the world. The world's all around us. We're in the world. The question is, are we letting the world get into us and sink us? Or is God working from the inside to transform us? Now, we've already seen in our study in verse 1 that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the living God is inside of you and wants to transform you into the image of Jesus Christ. But this isn't something automatic. Now, how do we know that this isn't something that just automatically happens? Well, because if it were automatic, there would be no need for verses like Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. See, when Scripture instructs us to do something, that means we have a responsibility in the matter. These verses are telling us, verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." That's telling us to do something. Don't be conformed, be transformed. Well, how do we do this? What's our responsibility in this? Well, first of all, our responsibility is to yield our will to the Holy Spirit. Don't get the wrong idea about yielding, though. I'm not talking about something passive. I'm not talking about something where you sit down and you say, "Okay, Holy Spirit, you do your thing." That would be like saying, "Well, you know, if it's God's will that my stomach be full of food, he'll fill my stomach with food and I'll just sit here and wait for that to happen." No, you have a responsibility to eat, right? Your mind controls your body and your will controls your mind. But when we try to do things by sheer willpower, we fail, right? So let's consider the example of diet and exercise. Person decides it's time to shed a few pounds and get into shape. You know, Christmas is over. It's time to start behaving yourself. So they begin a program of proper diet and exercise, and they're determined that they're going to stick with it this time. And they have strong willpower at the first. You know, those first couple of weeks of January are great, and they're doing everything right. They're eating the salads. They're going for their walks. They're lifting their weights, whatever. And then about week 3 of January hits and the chocolate cake and the potato chips start talking louder. And by week 4 of January, we're right back where we started, right? Or what about somebody with a bad temper? They know they have a problem with losing their temper. They're determined to control that temper. And it works for a while. They keep it under control. They keep themselves calm. They count to 10 in those situations. But then that day comes when somebody gets on their very last nerve. Somebody stomps on that last nerve. And they find out in that moment that willpower is just not enough. And they explode. What about the man who has a problem with internet pornography? He's bound and determined. "I will never look at another inappropriate image ever again," but he finds himself over and over again sitting at that computer doing what he knows he should not be doing. Willpower by itself is never enough to overcome the temptations that this world throws at us every day. It is only when we yield our will to God that his power can take over and give us the willpower and the won't power that we need to be victorious Christ followers. It must be the work, the transforming work of the Holy Spirit. Titus chapter 2 tells us that the grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age. And then in chapter 3 of Titus, we find out just how the grace of God accomplishes this. It says, through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. You have the power to live a godly life. You have the power to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You have that power if you are truly born again through faith in Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God lives in you, then you have that power living in you to walk in godliness. We are truly transformed by yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit, letting him saturate us, mold us into the image of Christ. Look at that wording there, through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly. There is an immersion. There is a saturation of us by the Holy Spirit. We see that picture in water baptism. There is a dipping into the water. There's a complete immersion and a saturation of water of the body in baptism, which pictures that complete saturation and immersion of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That's what Christianity is about. It's not about something that, Christianity is a part of my life. Jesus Christ ought to be our lives completely. So how do we do that? That's where we come to now. We come to the question of, how do we do that? How do we walk in the Spirit and yield to the Spirit so these things can happen? How are we transformed by the renewing of our minds? How do we genuinely yield to the Holy Spirit? Well, there are three ways that I want to talk about this morning that we already know. But we need to hear them over and over again because we need to be always applying these things in our lives. The first one is prayer. We all know about prayer. That's not a surprise. We surrender our will to God through disciplined prayer. As we spend time in prayer, we surrender everything to him. Now, I'm not talking about the praying before a meal kind of prayer. I'm not even talking about necessarily praying in intercession for others for their material needs or their physical needs. Those things are important. We ought to be praying for one another, and we ought to be thankful for the food that we eat and the other things in our lives. That is all true and important, but we need to go beyond that in our prayer lives. We need to spend time alone with God, consciously and intentionally yielding ourselves to his will in every area of our lives. That is the first thing that prayer is. Prayer is not bringing a list of requests to God. Prayer is coming to God and saying, I am yielding my will to you. Lord, show me your will. I want your will. It is the prayer of Jesus in the garden. Not my will, but thy will be done. Even when we don't want it that way. Jesus said, if there's any way this cup could pass from before me, and yet not my will, but thy will be done. It's okay to go before God and say, God, I don't like this, and I don't want this, but what I do want is what you want, Lord, so I'll take whatever it is you're giving. And we will find that it is the best thing when we do that. Intentional, yielding prayer. We need to discipline ourselves to seek God. A total surrender of our attitude. But let me warn you of this. If you tell God that's what you want, be ready, because God will do that work in your life that you are asking for. Sometimes it comes with surprises. So how can we know God's will then? We go to God in prayer and we say, God, I want your will, but how is it that we can know his will? Well, that brings us to the second thing, and that is the study of God's word. I told you these are things you've heard of before. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look at verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. This is why we constantly thank God, because when you received the word of God that you heard from us, you welcomed it not as a human message, but as it truly is, the word of God, which also works effectively in you who believe. So we've got some important points under this, from this verse about studying God's word. Here we learn, first of all, that we must appreciate the word. They welcomed the word. We ought to welcome the word into our lives. How do we welcome the word into our lives? By actually being in the word, by actually reading the Bible on a regular basis. I've been encouraged lately at some of the conversations I've had with some of you asking me about a reading plan for the year, you know, to read through the Bible in a year. And those of you that I've talked to about that, I've probably mentioned, I just completed the chronological reading this last year, where it doesn't just take you straight Genesis through Revelation, it mixes it all up chronologically and puts it together so that you get a chronological picture laid out for you as you go through the whole Bible in a year. We ought to be in the Word. That's how we welcome the Word. That's how we appreciate the Word, first of all, is by actually appreciating that you have a Bible in your hand. You've got brothers and sisters in other parts of the world. They don't get to have a whole Bible to themselves. Sometimes it's a whole church that has to share one Bible or even just a portion of a Bible. You and I, we can quite literally have a stack of Bibles if we want, right? Isn't that amazing? And if you don't have quite the Bible that you want, you can go online to Amazon.com or to ChristianBook.com and you can find the Bible that you want, you know, a study Bible or the translation you want, and you can order it, and in a couple of days, there it is on your front porch, or a few more days than that in this weather. But you and I, we get to have the Word. Appreciate the Word. But then we can't stop at just appreciating that we have the Word. We must appropriate the Word. We must receive it into our lives. It says that they received it. We constantly thank God because when you received the word of God that you heard from us, you welcomed it. So they appreciated it and they appropriated it. We ought to be appreciating and appropriating God's word, taking it into our lives. Then if we're appropriating it, if we're taking it into our lives, what's the next thing? Well, we apply the word of God. We understand that this is, in fact, the word of God. The Bible isn't this isn't just a compilation of good religious writings. This is God's holy scripture. This is God's word to us. This is the written word that reveals the living word. And so we apply it to our lives. We say, okay, I see what God wants of me. I will live this by his power and for his glory. All of those things, appreciating, appropriating, and applying the word, bring us to being controlled by the word. It's not something the world likes to talk about. Well, I don't want to be controlled by anything. Well, we're all controlled by something. No, none of us get to go along freely without any control whatsoever. We're either being controlled by sin or being controlled by God's word. And as we are controlled by his word, we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. So discipline, prayer, and Bible study are essential for this transforming work. But there is one more element that we cannot leave out. These first two elements bring us to this third one, and that is the church. We need to be spending personal and private time with God in prayer and Bible study, but that personal time should always flow into the life of the church. This is not a burden. This is not a chore. This is not an extra exercise that's thrown into our week. This is something that God has given us for our good and for our blessing. Look around you at those around you. God has given you each other to bless you and to strengthen you and to build you up in the faith. This ought to be a refreshing time that we look forward to and that we're eager to be a part of. Now, I'm not talking about church as this building. And this building's not worth any more than any other building if we're not in it. It's just a building. thankful for it, but it's just a building. And church is also not just this Sunday morning worship service that we're having right now, as important as that is. Church is also not just the organization called First Baptist Church. Church is what?
The people.
The people. Church is God's people, those who are called out as an assembly. This is not a business. We do not have some sort of management style here so that we can produce a product or a service. Church is not the same as the business world. This is a living organism. The Bible tells us that the church is the body of Christ. In a few moments, we will be receiving the Lord's Supper. We will partake of the bread and the cup, which represent the body and blood of Jesus Christ. But in that, we are also reminded that we are the body of Christ, a living organism. That's why we call each other brothers and sisters, because we're a family and we function as an organism, as a family. Everybody matters. And we all work together to be that living organism. The fellowship of the body of Christ is essential for us to be completely and constantly changed by his power and grace. Notice Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed, but be transformed." If you are being transformed, you will not be conformed. The transformation, the work of transformation in us is our protection from being conformed to this world. Yielding to the transforming power of God protects us from the fiery darts of the evil one too. So finally, we notice one last thing here. The result of genuinely yielding ourselves to the transforming work of God in our minds: be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Why? And the end of verse 2 there in Romans 12 says, "So that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God." If we will offer our bodies sacrificially to God, giving up the temporary pleasures of this world and yielding our minds to him for his use, he promises us that he will prove himself to us. He will prove himself in us. He will prove himself through us. God will prove himself to you if you give yourself to him. And that is a guarantee. And that guarantee is worth everything, because it lasts a lot longer than anything this world has to offer. Christ, life in Christ is eternity. Anything this world has to offer you comes to an end. So don't be a person who just calls yourself a Christian and tries to look like one on the outside. Be a Christ follower. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be transformed to the praise of God's glory. Father in heaven, we thank you for this statement given to us here in your word. This admonishment to be not conformed, but be transformed. Father, that you would transform us, renew us, be constantly working in each one of us, we pray, that we might be molded into Christ-likeness, and that we might be knit together as a church family in an unbreakable bond that will be noticed by the world around us. Father, that we would have opportunity to say to others, come, be a part of this. Trust in Jesus Christ. Be made new. Be born again. Become a child of God and walk with us. We thank you for your grace, for your glory, for your love. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.